So the halacha is that when you have insulted someone, when you've stolen someone's money, Yom Kippur will not just erase your sin. The Shulchan Aruch states, what do you have to do? Ad sheyifaseinu. You have to apologize. Afilu lo hignito ela bidvarim. Even if you only bothered him with your words, you didn't physically harm him or monetarily harm the person. Sarech lefaiso. The Shulchan Aruch rules you have an obligation to apologize. V'meino mispayis berishon. And if the person does not accept your apology, yachzer v'yelech pam shniya v'shlishis. We know the famous rule that you need to ask for mechila three times. Now the Ramosh Israelis comments over here in the Haggah, it's in bold, v'hamocha lo yiya achzari milimcho. So if someone wronged you, you have a halachic obligation to not be stubborn. You should accept their apology. And here's an amazing line. Here's an amazing line. I underlined it for this reason. What's the exception? V'mhotzi alav shemra. So what's the exception? So if someone wrongs me and they say, Mandelstam, I really am sorry that time I made fun of you, I embarrassed you publicly. You know what? I'm really sorry. The halacha says that I should forgive the person. But let's say, Rahman al-Islam, someone came out with an accusation. And often the term shemra is in the realm of a rumor that was inappropriate with, we'll say, inappropriate activity that's, we'll say, highly inappropriate and involves, you know, we'll say, going over the line in a physical sense, in a sexual sense, and someone made a rumor about me that I did something wrong with so-and-so. And let's say there was even a newspaper article, Rahman al-Islam, that said Mandelstam did this, and he's accused of this, and turns out it's all not true. Everyone, I'm in the clear, my reputation actually is cleared, the based in Paskins like me. And now this guy wants to ask me for mechila. By the way, remember that whole scandal that I started this year with you being accused? Yeah, I remember that. So I'm really sorry that I accused you of doing what you didn't really do. So the Ramah there says, I don't need to accept his apology. After all, he did such an awful thing. He spread a negative rumor about my reputation. Now says the Mishnah Brura, you don't need to forgive the person because you can never really undo the damage. So people will always remember the negative article that was on the cover of the New York Times about you, but they're not going to know that he actually apologized. And the word is going to be less exciting, right? It's always more exciting to publish a scandal than to publish the fact that the scandal is not true, right? So the Mishnah Berurah says you don't need to accept the apology, but at underline source number two, umikol makom midas anava limchol gam baze. It's even appropriate, it's a humble idea, it's an act of humility to forgive the person even in this scenario. Unbelievable. Imagine such a thing. Someone accuses you of something you never did, there was a scandal, and he apologizes, and you, if you're really humble, you'll forgive the person. And this evening I want to tackle a very difficult subject of how do you forgive people that you genuinely don't forgive. Someone genuinely wronged you, and you know they're in the wrong, and it's time to make up, and you don't want to forgive them. What they did to you is unforgivable, and you don't feel like you want to be a good person. You don't feel too humble. You feel upset, and they're saying sorry, and you know the halacha is, your mora taught you in fifth grade, you should say, I forgive you. But sometimes you don't want to forgive, and sometimes you don't forgive. And where does the halacha allow for that? What's the halacha's response to such a scenario? Because even in the case of Motzi Shemra, the Mishnah Berurah says, well, you should really try to forgive if you're humble. And it's a little ironic that all of these halachas are brought down in Hilchas Yom HaKippurim. The Day of Judgment is not Yom Kippur, the Day of Judgment is Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, as opposed to the Shulchan Aruch in source number three, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, he argues that, no, not on Erev Yom Kippur, but on Erev Rosh Hashanah, you should ask people for mechila. Right? Umikol shekein ba'aveir shebein adam l'chaveir. It's underlined in source number three. Here it is. V'lo yamtin ad Erev Yom HaKippurim, ela yaktim es atzmo hayom, v'vakesh mechaveir mechila. Argues the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. What are you waiting for Yom Kippur for? We know that minhag in Shulchan Aruch is to ask people for mechila on Erev Yom Kippur. Argues the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch many, many years later, why in the blazes would you wait till Erev Yom Kippur to ask someone for mechila? Do it on Erev Rosh Hashanah. So last year in the Beis Medrash Minyan, I said b'derech drush, that maybe the root of this dispute is that not everyone's ready on Erev Rosh Hashanah to grant mechila. And the course of Rosh Hashanah, the shofar, the tashlich, the season will create a morale, a mood of forgiving, and maybe by Erev Yom Kippur you will be prepared to forgive that person. So granted, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is on a higher level, that you're ready to already forgive the person by Erev Rosh Hashanah, but Me'ikar Hadin, the deadline is Erev Yom Kippur. If you got into a fight this year, if there is someone that you had a negative encounter with, Erev Yom Kippur is the deadline to clear that up. But the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is advocating, why wait till the deadline? You know that you don't want to wait till the last minute. Do it on Erev Rosh Hashanah. It's certainly a wonderful way to start, I would say, the Slichos week. We are already within a week of Rosh Hashanah. It is now Motzei Shabbos on, you know, Erev Shabbos. This coming Friday will be Erev Rosh Hashanah. And we could already imagine Erev Shabbos is going to be a busy time. So I'll be extra machmer. Do it on Thursday. Do it on Friday. And again, it's awkward. It's difficult. But we don't want to go into the Yom HaDin having people upset with us when they're waiting for our apology. That being said, again, this is pretty straightforward, but let's be a little bit bluntly honest. There are people who don't want to make up. There are people who are not excited to forgive, and there are people who are not ready to apologize. So what would you say to such a thing? What would you say to such a thing? Right? And I don't know if we'll pick maybe on Jerome Gans. I don't know, Jerome, just looking on the chat right now. Gotta always include people on the Zoom. Jerome, I'm gonna pick on you, brother. Jerome, could you unmute yourself? We'll have some fun. And Chevy Uden is in the crowd, so Chevy, just be, should be noted that you're speaking in the presence of Godless. Okay, Jerome, what would you say? What would you say? You're upset with someone who mamish wronged you this year. What should you do?
What should you do? You should reach out to them.
Well, you're upset with them. You really hate them. You mamish hate them.
Can't imagine being in a
situation. Oh, very good. That was a good answer. So Jerome says it's too hypothetical. Wow, what a tzaddik. Unbelievable. All right, Adam, is a good answer.
Huh?
Very good. So Jerome says it's too hypothetical for a Jew to hate another Jew is kfira. The scenario can't even be conjured up. Okay, very nice. That being said, it happens. So I'll say like this. The area we're going to go in is learning from Hashem himself. What did we read this morning in the Torah? Moshe is on the day of his death, and in Parshas Vayelech, in source number 4, Vaitzav Moshe Salavim, Nose Aron Beris Hashem Leimor, what does he tell them? Take the Sefer Torah. And what's his warning? What's his warning? Pasuk Chavtes, Ki. What does Moshe Rabbeinu know? Ki Adat Yacharei Mosi, I know that after I die, what inevitably is going to happen? Ki Hashches Tashchisun. They're going to mess up. Klal Yisrael will inevitably sin. They're going to go off the derech. All the bad tovah, it's going to come about. Right, a little bit of a surprising pasuk that Moshe, the last day of his life, is admitting that they're going to sin. And I remember Rav Soloveitchik, at least in the video, I didn't see this obviously with my own eyes, but the Rav, as that sounds, said publicly when he was alive, he said, I'm alive, you all call me the Rav. What will happen when I'm gone? And the Rav foresaw that after his death, there would be fragmentation, there would be people who get into arguments, Ashkafa, you know, there is a very wide range of Talmidim of Rav Soloveitchik. And he understood that it was only a matter of time until the community was going to be divided. And Moshe Rabbeinu looks at Klal Yisrael, and he says, listen, I know the reality. I love you. You're my people. I'd go to bat for you. I'll fast for you. But I know that after I die, it's not going to work. And this gets us to the very sensitive area of halacha, of forgiving people, not because they deserve it, but because you just accept people for who they are. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say, you know what? Because you are going to sin after my death, I'm through with you. Let's just end this religion, you know, change the channel. Enough is enough. He was Moshe Rabbeinu until the day he died. In fact, you know, the sworn Ohr explained on the Pasuk that on the day he died, he specifically went to say goodbye. He went from tent to tent to bid farewell to his beloved congregation. And he actually was consoling them. I'm going to die, but it's going to be okay. I lived a long life. Don't worry about it. And the same Moshe Rabbeinu, you get the impression that he's this loving grandfather figure, is saying, and by the way, you're going to really mess up after I die. And that's not a contradiction. Meaning you can love somebody, you can be their rabbi, you can be their friend, and you can also know that they're going to let you down. They're going to let you down. Fact. Not controversial. And we learn this from the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. We just learned that from Moshe Rabbeinu, but in source number 5, what is it? What do we say? I just got a text message. I want to make sure that it's not related to the shiur I'm giving right now of someone on Zoom saying, by the way, man, listen, you know, no, okay. Okay, something related, but okay. Moving on to source number 5. Amar of Yochanan, famous, this is the pre-Slichos source. I would imagine this Gemara is being quoted in, I don't know, maybe dozens of shuls across the country tonight. El Male Mikra Kosovi Efshala Omer, Gemara Shoshana Yud Zayin Amid Beis. What did Rav Yochanan say? Malamed Shetnis Atef HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kishliach Tzibur. That Hashem, when he taught Moshe, the Yud Gimel Midos, that we're going to start saying tonight, Na Hashem, Hashem Kel Rachum Mechanun. And when we get to Ne'ilah, we're going to be repeating them again and again and again and again. So Hashem taught Moshe how to recite the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachumim. And the second line, Amar Lo Kozman Sheyisrael Chotin. Anytime the Jewish people sin, Ya'asu Lefanai Keseder Hazeh. They should do this thing, this Yud Gimel Midos HaRachumim thing. And I'll forgive them. What are the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachumim? Hashem, Hashem are the first two. The Machlokas Rishonim, but at least according to Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, the first two of the 13 Yud Gimel Midos HaRachumim are Hashem number 1 and Hashem number 2. So how are those two? Midos Ani Hu Kodem Shechat Adam. I am God before man sins. V'ani Hu La'achar Shechat Adam. And I'm also God after man sins. V'yaset Shuva. Okay. So the question on this Gemara is as follows. Okay, so Hashem is a merciful God. And after Chet HaEgel, he told Moshe, you know what? This is what you need to do to get out of jail card, so to speak, right? You said you can do this Arachamim. Fine. So the only thing is that the Gemara didn't say them. Didn't say recite them, right? That's why I underlined that word. In source number 5, I specifically underlined the word Ya'asu. It doesn't say them. It says, do them. So what does it mean to do the Yigam Midas HaRachamim? So the Eitz Yosef, the Iyun Yaakov, and Mesechus Rosh Hashanah, right over there in that Gemara, he says, for the name of the Al-Shech, his comment on Tehillim, I definitely would not have known that the Al-Shech, number one, has a commentary on Tehillim, and number two, says this in his commentary on Tehillim. Baruch Hashem, for all the Svarim that are so fast, and I give olamot.net, one of the best resources that came out in the past 10 years on the internet, Rav Tzvi Reisman. So he is a big Talmud Chacham from L.A. So what he does, I think he hired a man who lives in Bnei Brak or so, to make more iyun in the world. And they just come out with these packets online, totally free, real iyun topics. One of them is Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. And years ago, I learned this in the YU Beis Medrash, and this source particularly always stuck with me from that particular packet on the topic of Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, but I do want to give olamot.net a shout out. It's a tremendous resource. Because of the Al-Sheikh B'dil, so what does the Al-Sheikh say that he heard in the name of Lidus HaSapi? I'll say it out loud. That when the Gemara says Asu instead of Yomru, it means that no, the trick is not to just recite, oh, Hashem, 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 you know, you read it off like it's a raffle ticket. No, you have to actually emulate the Ribbono Shel Olam. Meaning, when God is merciful, so in order for us to be granted Hashem's mercy, we need to emulate God and do the same acts of kindness that God Himself does. So that's the issue, because He says many people ask that the trick didn't work. Hashem promised us If we do the Yigibas Arachamim, Hashem will forgive us. But he asks in source number 6 very boldly. Many people said it and it didn't work. So the Gemara is a lie. It's a false. It's a farce. So no, because people recite them, but they don't act upon them. If Hashem is slow to anger, and you mention that with your mouth, but you yourself are not slow to anger, that's inherently flawed. And the secret is not to recite the Yigibas Arachamim, but to actually act upon them and emulate God. But let's take that now into practice. So what was the first of the Yigibas Arachamim? Hashem. What was the second one? Hashem. So how do you emulate God in those two? Remember, God is the same God before you sin, and the same God after you sin. So the Rush, in source number 7, asks a very sharp question, right? We don't need God's Rachamim before sin. Right, what did the Gemara say? Oh, Hashem is so merciful. He has 13 attributes of mercy. And what's the first one? I am God before you sin. And I'm still God after you sin. So the second one is very merciful. Even though you sinned, God still loves you. But what mercy do you need from God before you sinned in the first place? There's no need for mercy. You didn't sin. And what does the Rush say? So chilling. This Rush of Yesh Lomar in source number 7 says, do you know what the mercy is? He knows that you're going to sin. He still is kind to you. Even though he knows your nature, he knows you'll fail, he knows that you will not live up to his expectations, and he still is your God. Before the sin, he's merciful because he knows that you're heading downhill. And this is not necessarily an optimistic beginning to the Yom Noram season, but it is. We read this morning that our nature is to mess up. And we go back to Hashem each year saying, God, I messed up. And that's not embarrassing, because the response of the Ribbono Shel Olam is, no kidding, you messed up. That's the way I created you. I expected you to mess up. So what's the secret? So how are we going to be granted Hashem's rachamim? The secret is Hashem gave us. That if we imitate God, he'll help us out. So if we treat others with the same respect that God treats us, namely, we know that they're going to wrong us, we know that they're going to do things that let us down, and we love them anyway. Hashem says, okay, I'll forgive you. Because in the same way that you don't look down upon people who let you down, so I'm not going to look down upon you even though you let me down. Meaning, I know your nature, you're human, you mess up, you have a Yetzirah, I created you that way, alright, you're doing your job, failing. You're supposed to fail sometimes. But I'm not going to be strict with you because you know what you do, you deal with other people in a very unique way. You know that they're going to mess up sometimes and you're still nice to them. And that's source number 8. What does the Gemara Masechta Shabbos say? Tanya, Rabbi Gamliel, the Rabbi Omer, what is this? The Pasuk in the Sefer Devarim also says, based on that pasuk, Kol ha-merachem ala brios, whoever is merciful unto humans, merachem alav min ha-shamayim. Hashem says, the way you treat other people, that will affect the way that I treat you. So what does that mean to emulate the yigimus ha-rachemim? Hashem, Hashem, kel rachem ha-chanun. So yes, we should also be rachem ha-chanun. But we should also be like Hashem. That we should be nice to people, even though the chances are that they're going to go back to those bad habits and let us down. On a deeper level, since I'm in the presence of Rav Yudin Shlita Moreno, Rav Yudin, one of my Prabha Shabbos, and I came here a little while ago, so Rav Yudin told me the word of Rav Moshe Cordovero, the Ramak and the Tomer Devora, that not only does Hashem know we're going to sin, and he loves us anyway, but on a metaphysical way, he actually enables us to sin. Right? You can't sin without God's help. Right? So imagine such a thing, right? That a kid asks his dad for money to go, do something that's not supposed to do, and the dad gives it to him, right? I mean, that would be ridiculous. But that's what Hashem does. Hashem says, you want to sin? Okay, I'll let you do it. I give you your bodily functions. You want to do whatever you do, I'll let you do it. Unbelievable idea. Very, very wild. Okay, so I think the point is clear, again, that yes, man can fail, and we have to love him anyway, because that's what Hashem does to us. And it's important to take kind of a deep breath, a step back for a second, and realize that we're about to approach Yom Noroi. And we expect God to be merciful with us, right? And this is really the secret, I believe, to the true Kavanah, where you look tonight and you're going to say, Hashem, I'm nothing. We feel like we've let God down and we cannot compare ourselves to Hashem. Hashem, you're perfect and I'm a human. I get tired and I get hungry and you don't. And I get angry, I make mistakes in God and you don't. And Hashem is not expecting us to be like Malachim. But at the same time, we know that on Yom Kippur we are like Malachim. And we're going to try to take a journey between tonight and Yom Kippur to be that much more like the Ribono Shel Olam. But that doesn't mean that we transcend our nature. It just means that we have to deal with people in the same way that Hashem deals with us. And that's within our reach. When we go to Erev Rosh Hashanah, the minhag is to do Hataras Nedarim. How does Hataras Nedarim open up Rosh Hashanah? We say, listen, Hashem, I thought I was going to be so frum this year. I made a neder with you that I was never going to miss a mar of minyan. I was never going to miss a minyan. I was always going to eat pas Yisrael this year, whatever chumrah I took upon myself. I thought that I was going to finish all of Shanai Mikvah this year. Who knows? And we get up to Erev Rosh Hashanah and we do Hataras Nedarim. We start the restart button. We hit the reset. We say, Hashem, I didn't live up to those Nedarim. And what happens when we get to Erev Yom Kippur? Same exact thing. Kol Nidrin. Hashem, I just didn't live up to those expectations. Please, please forgive me. Please. And Machalach, Machalach, Machalach. And we expect Hashem to be forgiving to us, and Hashem will be forgiving to us on one condition. Have as much Rachmanis on your friend, on your family member, on your child, on your parents, as you would want Hashem to have on you. And that's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing. Not an easy thing. But I hope the next source at least starts to pave the way, we'll say, for our year of being more tolerant of others. The Gemara in Maseches Yuma has an amazing story where Rav was giving a shir. Rav have a pasuk sidra kamei de Rebbe. So Rav was giving a shir. And what happened? Ayel asa Rebbe Chia. Rebbe Chia came to the shir late. So you know what Rav did? Hadal Reisha. He started the shir again. Ayel bar kapara, but then bar kapara went in. Hadal Reisha. Rav started the shir again. Asa Rebbe Shimon Rebbe. Hadal Reisha. So again and again, people would come to the shir late, and Rav would start the shir all over again from the beginning. But then what happened? Asa Rebbe Chanina bar Chama. Rebbe Chama in the second line. And what did Rav say? Kule hai nahadar v'nezel. What, I'm going to start the shir again and again and again and again? Ridiculous. He did not start from the beginning that time. And who got upset? The Talmud who came late. Ikpid Rebbe Chanina, I underline. Rebbe Chanina got upset. Hey, it's not fair. Rav didn't start the shir for me. What am I, chopped liver? Come on, Rav. I'm Rebbe Chanina. Now, obviously, Rebbe Chanina is in the wrong. Rebbe Chanina was late, number one. Number two, you shouldn't get upset, right? You come late to a shir, you sit down to catch up. Rebbe Chanina was offended that Rav did not start the shir for him. And who apologizes to who in the story? Rav. Azal Rav. Legabe Tlesar Ma'ale Yom Kippur. For 13 Yom Kippurs in a row, Rav, the Rebbe, went to go apologize to Rebbe Chanina. I'm so sorry I did not start the shir over for you. I'm sorry that I offended you, Rebbe Chanina. I know you came late to the shir. I should have started again for you also. And the Sfas Emes and the final source asked the obvious question. He said, I don't understand. It's on the back of the sheet. This story is backwards. Rav did nothing wrong. Rebbe Chanina did something wrong. And the Sfas Emes says, yeah, no kidding. Because when it comes to interpersonal relationships, it's not going to make sense. Right? Yeah, Rav was in the wrong. No, Rav was in the right. So why was he asking Rebbe Chanina for forgiveness? It's underlined, the mashma de yom kippurim ika kpeda she yispayis echarim chavero. You just make peace. Ve'ein nafkusa im hatzedek imo. And it doesn't make a difference if you're in the right or if you're in the wrong. Right? There's right and there's wrong and there's shalom. Right? I remember one of my chassan classes with Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky Shlita, Rebbe of Rabbi Arya Yudin Shlita. So before I got married, so he told me a teaching of the Halb president, Richie Hagler Shlita. I'm assuming he's still, I think he's still, yeah, he's still Halb president, if I'm not mistaken. I graduated DRS quite a while ago. But he told me a teaching from Richie Hagler. He said that there are three truths. There's your version of the truth, there's my version of the truth, and then there's the truth. Right? So that's what the Sfas Emes is saying. That you feel like you were right. Yeah, but you should still apologize anyway. Because what a Bein Adam L'Chaveiro is not about right and wrong. It's about Shalom. Shalom transcends logic. We're not talking about right, wrong, or, you know, mathematical equations with a definitive answer. We're talking about making Shalom. So as we approach the Yomim Noraim, we want Hashem to be merciful upon us. And Hashem says, no problem. I created you with your flaws and your temptations. I expected you to mess up. But here's the condition. You need to treat other people the same way that I would treat, that you want me to treat you. And as we get to the Yom Noraim, at least for me, I know that Baruch Hashem, I've been zochah to have a relatively, we'll say, drama-free year. But even in my quote-unquote drama-free year, there's been drama. There have been episodes, you know, people, they get into issues, people get offended, people offend others, whether it's intentional, unintentional, etc. And now is the time to not care about who was right, who was wrong. It's time to make sure that everyone is approaching the Yom Noraim as a family member of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, Arei Mezeh Bezeh, and we need to be tolerant of one another. Because after all, Moshe loved us despite the fact that he knew we were going to sin after his death. Hashem has rachmanas on us before we sin, even though he knows that we are going to sin. And I'll maybe conclude with the teaching of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Rav Nevin Sal, Shlita of the Old City, was asked the halachic shaila. If someone asks you for mechila, and you don't feel like you're emotionally prepared to forgive them for what they did to you, are you able to be mochel? And Rav Nevin Sal says, from a mesorah, from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, just saying the words, I am mochel you, even if you don't really mean it, suffices. Which means that if you can at least bring your lips to say, yeah, you're good in my book, you're good, you're good. That's at least halachically significant. Again, in your heart of hearts, are you offended by that person still? Yes. Do you expect them to change their bad ways? No. But you know what? When you say, I forgive you, what you're really saying is, I'm prepared to live in a world aware of the fact that people let me down. And that's part of life. It's part of life. And in the same way that we let Hashem down, yet we do a Taurus and Adarim, we say Kol Nidre, we say, Hashem, I'm sorry I let you down. We should all be zocheh to look at people with as much rachmanus and really have a year of shalom and simcha. And certainly in the times that we're living in, there's really no excuse to have fights anymore. People were fighting for lives this year, fighting for breath, for air, and it's simply inexcusable to live with your head high. We have to have the anava of the Mishnah Brura, who even said, it's a good thing to be mochel someone who publicly humiliated you and they were lying. They're mostly shamer about you. What a madriga to strive for. We should try to get there together as a community, and I hope that we have a year of shalom, which will lead to much bracha and refuah. Shavua tov.